Hello.
Hello.
Who's on mine?
Daniel.
Hi, Till.
I don't think Till's on yet.
Ah.
I heard him. I heard him.
Nope. No. That was me.
Oh, sounds like Till. Sometimes he cuts out.
Was that Dan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hallo?
That's
Hi,
it.
Till.
Hi, who's there?
Ira and Daniel and Glenn.
Hi. Glenn, you made it,
Yeah, if the customer calls, I'll have to leave.
Okay.
How customers are.
Yes, then I think we start with you. Lars, unfortunately, will not come. So whatever you want to say, say at first, so that that we can that if you get called, so that we have done the stuff which you wanted to say.
Yeah. So I was mostly interested in the. I don't remember. Maybe there is a website or a wiki page on the government contract about. What's the deliverables and what's the schedule?
For Common Print Dialogue?
Yes, I'm
There's not really a web page. There's the old web page with all the specs. But one thing is, the state is now that Lars will work on it. It
right.
only takes some time until some administrative stuff is done.
But
and
what is the actual deliverables, and is there a schedule, and
yes.
will it be available?
The schedule is not yet determined. It needs still to be determined. But what will be done is that we will finish complete the QT dialogue, And we will patch the applications so that a standard Ubuntu distribution will be able, with all the applications which are installed by default at least, to use the common printing dialog, and always the Qt version gets used, as beginning from the next release of Ubuntu on, which is Oneric and comes out in October, the standard Ubuntu desktop CD contains Qt. And therefore, to at least get it into Ubuntu as the first distro, it's enough to get it completed in the Qt version. The German government organization, what they need is a part of what Ubuntu needs. So that when I say this and this and this is made for Ubuntu, in this everything is contained what the German government organization needs.
So till you have in the agenda that funding is available for the coding, I believe, words to that effect.
Yes, yes. And, and
would you say anything about that, and funding from who? From German government and Canonical, or what?
Yes, yes, that's it.
Oh, it's both. Oh, I'm sorry. I just assumed it was a good
one. I thought so.
Yes.
Thank you, Till.
Yes.
I was just trying
and
to get that for the minutes.
And the company who does the financial transactions is Canonical.
I think I won't say that for the minutes because that, you know, veers into contract
yes,
details.
Yes, it's not so important.
Yeah, it's fine.
So
it's good for us to know because Canonical will responsibly and promptly stay on top of doing that.
Yes, yes. And they have also experience with employing people at every point of the world. They have no problems to pay euros, to pay dollars, to get euros, to get dollars, to get any currency, and so on.
Right. They have normal banking procedures already.
And everything.
Yeah. Okay. That's good news.
So if you don't want to say something, don't say it.
Good point, Glenn.
Huh?
Nonetheless, most people don't listen to the teleconference. They actually read the minutes, if that.
Right.
But
anyway, sounds good. I was just hoping maybe we could put together a slide. It's easier, you know, Epson's trying to join the organization, and the more I can give them, the easier it is.
Well, you can give them the fact that between the German government and Canonical, there now is funding available for the coding.
Yes. The only thing is that the German government needs some bureaucratic procedure, which takes some months as until their money gets out, but the work can be started as Canonical is there. Canonical can start putting money into it.
So there's an overhead with the government, and we're waiting. And you're waiting for that overhead to get done for the funding. Okay, great.
And also, the Canonical design team will look over the design and perhaps do small changes on it.
Oh, see, that's the kind of things I'm interested in. So, we'll review.
Yes, as the once the design is not completed. And second, there are some things, for example, the German government organization wants the dialog to have resizable, and the current code has it not resizable as the original design
right.
wants to have it not resizable. And we will now get the resizable version, I think, as now we are independent of the original design.
So again, that was the kind of information I was hoping it would be on a slide or two.
So perhaps later on I can also ask Lars perhaps to make some slides and
Yeah, as soon as possible is sort of what Glenn
could
find. Let
us upload these slides.
I'm not asking for, you know, a lot of details, but things like, you know, the old CPD design with that's rescalable, that works on Qt, deliverables are a set of libraries that work for blah, 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 that kind of thing. And approximate schedules will be done by third quarter or November 30th or something.
Yeah, even third quarter, fourth quarter, whatever is the important thing to
usually has an end date, though.
Yes.
And then it's interesting to know that Canonical will look at, are they going to look at the design of CPD, or are they going to look at the code design?
Yes. What for me is already rather clear is that they will not succeed before feature freeze, which I think is 11th of August for Oneric. So that perhaps they try to get it for the feature freeze of the spring edition, which is something like the 20th of February.
Yeah, but so is Canonical planning to look at the interface design or the code design?
Also at the interface design.
Ah, so it's a review of the code and interface.
Do I need to capture that for minutes? I'm sorry.
I think that's important that someone else beyond CPD and the fact that it's scalable by the German government wants it scalable to fit on different displays.
Canonical will review
the code and the interface design. Oh, now I'm still back to the question, Till. I'm sorry. Not enough adjectives here. Let me rephrase it as to, is Canonical going to review the GUI?
Okay.
Or do you mean the interface being the D-bus?
The interface being the GUI.
The GUI.
Ah, okay. Yes. So let's say the
User interface.
User interface.
And the code.
Yes,
the
UI.
And the code. Okay, so Canonical will review the code and user interface design specs, right?
And comments, right?
Yes.
I'm sorry, and make comments?
Yeah. They're not going to make demands, probably, just comments, you know, or suggestions.
Yes.
I'll write and make comments or suggestions.
Yeah. Okay. And the government has only asked for the scaling, as far as you know, Till?
Yes. This I have seen only in the government's requirements as a requirement, which differs from the current specs.
Okay, and I'm sorry, explain scaling to me for a moment. I was right typing when you guys were talking about scaling.
Resizable
window.
Resizable dialogue windows, okay.
Yes.
Okay, so the German government requirements include resizable dialogue windows.
Right.
That'll
be
which is a change from the old CPD design, right?
Yeah, which is all fixed. Everything was fixed.
Okay.
You could have
which
different versions.
Which is a delta.
All fixed.
Which is change. Okay, I got that.
Okay, so I might as well just ask the remaining question is, when do you think the contract's going to end, Till?
What?
When do you think the contract will end, or when is it due?
Yeah, and for now, it looks like a contract with an open end.
Oh, contract is currently open.
Yes. So it looks like also that he will work after the dialogue on further GUI questions concerning printing.
Contract completion date is currently open-ended.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
That's actually good news. Thank you.
Well, yeah, it means that poor Lars doesn't have to, you know, stay up till midnight every night trying to get it done in a month.
Well, but it also means that, you know, that Canonical may go on at some modest level, continuing to fund, you know, its polishing and improvement.
Yeah, follow-ons, yeah.
Yes, he will probably also be the maintainer of the dialogue.
Canonical would be?
Lars.
Yeah. Oh, Lars. Oh, okay. Okay, great. This is great news. Yeah, it's more likely something gets done when there's somebody putting money into it.
Well, but the other thing, Glenn, is because Canonical has actually, you know, agreed to do the paperwork side, which is good, is that that's an extremely good thing for me to take to Samsung or you to take to Epson or, you know, Daniel Williams to take to Rico and say, look, why don't we fund this too? You know, why don't we help since we have a incentive to have it done?
Right.
It's different. It's actually different and better, in a sense, in terms of presenting to corporate people than to say this government agency or that university agency has funded it.
Well, or that, you know, the Open Printing Group is still working on Common
right.
Dialogue.
Is still working on getting any funding. Right, yes.
We're now starting our next 5-year cycle. Sorry, couldn't resist.
So, this way, I think we will have now a well-established project of the Common Printing Dialogue. And perhaps when it is not filling full-time of a person anymore, one thing can be that after the QT dialogue gets ready, he will be put onto the GTK version.
Yeah, that's what I was actually hoping.
If it's not filling full-time anymore, perhaps he's then put also on other GUI aspects of printing, like the printer setup tool or so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential if we can keep the Canonical and others interested.
Right.
Even at modest funding, that really changes the dynamics of this project. When you're trying to do it on your own time as a volunteer, not much gets done.
Yes, a big problem is also if a volunteer is working on an essential part of the operating system, then we have responsibility problems because one needs always someone who reacts rather quickly if something goes wrong.
Right, right. Yes.
So probably this is also the reason why often infrastructure elements of the Linux operating system have only a short life and get replaced by some other concept.
Well, there's several articles on open source code, and almost all the good stuff has always been funded. Very little of it that's volunteer is.
Although an interesting thing, Glenn, is that steady, modest funding attracts contributors.
Yeah.
I mean, that you really get the 3 or 4 to 1 payback on your money because other good developers interested in that topic join and participate because the horrible prospect of it goes to zero funding and no bugs are fixed for 8 months is not on the horizon. It's not going to happen.
Right. I mean, even, like I said, modest funding really changes people's dynamics and interest on continuing to work on something.
Yep, it does.
And so I think this is really good. It's a good change.
Yeah.
I mean, that brings us into it brings us into another subject. I got an email from a guy named Jesse Atkins, who is actually works for a food manufacturing plant or something, but is interested in writing JW.
Ah, this sounds nice.
So he hasn't, I kind of dropped the ball on helping him, but he started writing code, and he's, I think it'll be it's kind of a volunteer type thing. I'll see how far it goes. So I'm kind of, just sending notes back and forth to him on suggestions, and if he has any questions about something. I don't think he has printing as a background, but a programmer, so.
So this guy is in commercial industry. He's not a university guy?
No, he actually works.
Jesse Atkins?
J-E-S-S-E.
Yep. A-T-K-I-N-S?
Yep.
Okay. Great.
So I need to send him another note to keep him... his interest level up, but it's a good thing.
And he's writing it in C as per the current headers, or is he writing it in Java?
No, pure C, agreed to CPD license and all that stuff.
Oh, good. Wonderful. Well, so we'll hope to hear good things of this.
Right. Well, so hopefully it'll keep moving forward, but at least something...
Yeah, that's great. Glenn, do you want to, shall we now hear from Daniel about Google Summer of Code progress?
Sounds like the right thing. That was Nick.
Yeah, good idea.
All right. Well, good news. I have all the functionality done. It is compliant with the old programs, except for the old programs were determined to do weird things.
Really great stuff. You're breaking up very badly.
Oh, sorry. I want to go plug in then. To wire. Okay, is that better?
Well, we'll see. Go ahead.
Okay. All the functionality is done. We differ from the C program only where Till has approved.
Now you're breaking up.
Thing.
Probably worse than before. Can you guys understand him?
No.
No, I'm getting about half of every word. I'm sort of guessing what he's saying, but it's going to be pretty hard to take notes from it.
So just be patient with us if we ask a question again. Go ahead, Daniel.
Last time I transitioned to wireless. We have a thunderstorm. That might be it. Seems a bit unlikely, though. Yeah, I'll just email the report.
Okay.
You can go ahead and talk, and we'll
try to
ask questions, as Glenn says. Go ahead.
Okay. Functionality is complete. We only differ from C, where Till had proved. My point, I am currently in the process of actually hooking up the functions in Fumatic to my new class that handles everything. And then the next step is writing the SQL import, which I can use some of the work I've done here on.
Okay, I think I understood that. You've got your part done. You connected it up to Fumatics. Oh, I see. The report says engine impure. Okay. And are you testing?
Yes. Till told me how to test it, actually. So, yeah, I'll be doing that later today.
Okay.
And then doing some more work on looking it all up. It's not all done. And then after that, comes SQL. Overall, I am likely ahead of schedule.
Good. But are you having fun?
Oh, yeah. Great.
Daniel, I'm sorry. I didn't catch that about where you are on the schedule.
I am ahead of schedule.
Ah.
He's ahead of schedule.
Good. Wonderful. And the next thing you're going to work on is SQL import?
Yes.
Well, great.
Anything else?
There's odd jobs that I have on my to-do list for after SQL import, because I will have some time, and they were jobs that Tim wanted me to do originally. For instance, add consistency among the options, human names, so like resolution, and or those long names in the options. Right now, many options are similar, but have slightly different names. If I make those consistent, then we will have better multi-language support provided by the renewing systems. So Genome or QT will be able to translate it better because the same string will show up more often.
Yeah, right. Obviously, better UI, multinational UI, if you have consistent terms.
Right. So if I understood that, if time permits, you'll try to do a coherency between terms.
Yes.
Among terms, between terms, whatever. And in different languages.
Well, the multilingual is provided by the desktop systems, which have arms of translators volunteering.
Okay.
They have, like, one.
The point is, writing a translation database for five similar terms is horrible because it means it's really diverging across the multinational, you know, set of languages. That's a very good one to do if you can manage the time.
What
okay.
I am thinking. Oops, sorry. What I'm thinking of doing it that way, or how should I say this? Google has this product called Google Refine. They originally developed it with the Large Transparency Government Project in mind, where the government might dump massive database of contracts that are inconsistent, and then you'd take it into Google Refine, and you'd clean it up, and you'd get some consistent data from that. I would basically take our data, export it to some format because Google Refine can't import our XML, with just names, rename everything, and write another throwaway script just to rename everything on our end. So it shouldn't be a big issue. I should be able to get it done.
Okay. I didn't catch much of that last. I don't know if anyone else did. Your connection's pretty awful at the moment. But if you want to send an email after the fact, I'll update stuff in the minutes, Lars.
I will do that.
Daniel. Okay. We got other topics today? Because I think we don't.
Yes, I don't remember that there was another topic, too.
There isn't on the published agenda. I just want if Glenn or Daniel
Wants to say something additional.
I sent some notes out.
Yes, yes.
And I'm sorry, but I'm getting the reaction out of this. There's no reaction. There's no dynamics out of this or this group anymore. So I don't know if people just don't have time. I know Ira's pretty busy with just about every subgroup there is in DWG.
Yeah, I'm writing too darn many specs. I admit I have read what you sent out, Glenn, but I had no bandwidth to collaborate on it. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean,
I wanted to say I'm delighted that you put it out. But it's hard to get participation. A few people, like John Late, actually, you know, read and think about things.
Yeah, so I understand that there's, you know, and Till's probably got 20 million projects going, and I couldn't keep up with Till if I tried. My proposal is a little bit against the grain, in other words, that it's not IPP and it's not CUPS because I think it's too much overhead for the mobile system. So I need to get... I'm not so interested, perhaps, in comments on the details as more as comments on the approach. I'm really trying at this point. I've reviewed it, and I says, in a real mobile environment, how can I print in 99% of the cases or most of the cases, and do I need all this extra stuff? No. I just need to print. So what can I do to make it a very tight design, here's the capabilities in a very tight format. Not extensible. I don't care about all that stuff right now. If you want to do that, go find a desktop or something
right.
else. But not
yeah.
mobile.
Go get your big fancy smartphone or something.
Or do something else. But, you know, for most mobile devices, I'm not really trying to print, you know, high-end photo printer prints at 8.5 by 11 or 8 by 10s, and you know I don't need to have the third page have an insert of blue paper on.
Yeah, that's it. You don't need inserts or paper changes. You don't need size changes. You probably don't even need finishing. But the limit, if you do, is probably just stapling.
Well, I went through a lot of the IPP interface stuff, and I says no, I don't need all this stuff. I know that that's against the grain, and someone's going to shoot me through the phone, but.
I can't see why. I see nothing wrong with subsets that are useful and more usable by end users.
And I really, I'm more interested in the end developers, but I really do love JTAPI and its attributes. To me, they're very concise. They go to the point. They make it easy. And it is something this group did develop. So,
yep. And it is noteworthy that their values are quite perfectly aligned with IPP values. It's just that they're sometimes keywords versus enums.
Right. So I'm going to continue on. I'm doing a little bit more work now. Eventually I'll publish some code. It'll all be CPD and all that nice stuff. And you guys can then maybe you can get a little bit more bandwidth to shoot a hole in it, or, you know. But if nothing else, you would say, yes, I've read it, and I don't see anything dramatically wrong, or no, Glenn, you can't do that. That at least gives me some idea that what I'm doing is somewhat agreeable to the group. But if you tell me, no, we have to have IPP client interfaces, then I might as well just stop.
No, I certainly wouldn't go there, Glenn. What we have to have is JTAPI, IPP, DPA, coherent names and meanings of the semantics of, you know, the printing features, but I don't think it makes any difference at all if there's no IPP or no heavyweight protocol stack involved in doing the printing.
Well, that's at least good news to me. So, you know, whether I have all the right names on some of the enums or something, or whatever, you know, that can always be fixed. That's a trivial thing.
Yeah, that's desk checking against the, you know, against the JTAPI headers because I desk checked them, and so did Claudia, and we did in meetings against the IPP or, in a few cases, SIP4 JDF, you know, source attributes.
Okay, so I think I'm going to continue. If that's Till's opinion, then I'll probably just continue on working in kind of the same vein or light that I'm currently working in until I get something a little more substantial, which then I may kind of bug you guys a little more to look at.
Glenn, I wanted to make a comment, which I resisted writing on the list, but which is that I think that the distinction between tablet versus other mobile smart devices is, or laptops, is nonsense, and that, in fact, the difference between a hard button and a soft button is invisible to end users. And so the whole idea of if it's a touchscreen interface, it's somehow some completely different creature is a bad, you know, way to worry about mobile behavior guidelines. And that, on the contrary, I think, you know, quarter screen VGA, half screen VGA resolution, not so much physical dimensions of screens, but, you know, the resolution, the number of spots, is a good way to actually talk about, don't even try the tiniest little, you know, preview icon if you only have quarter screen VGA or less, because it's too few pixels.
Right. No, and I haven't actually gotten to that part, so maybe some of the comments I made were just kind of, you know, off the cuff. But no, I think I understand. Your first comment there was that it doesn't matter if it's touchscreen, I have a mouse, I have a pointer, whatever. If I can put an icon,
or you have some buttons and a scroll button or whatever. You know, there are so many different hard or soft interfaces these days that emulate basically a bunch of buttons, and I don't think it's worth considering tablets to be utterly different than small laptops, netbooks, and large smartphones.
Oh, one thing which I've heard from Peter is that once he says touch and normal keyboard mouse is very, very different. And another thing is that he even would distinguish between tablets of 7 inches and tablets of 10 inches.
Yes, and I wouldn't distinguish on inches, but on resolution. Because, I mean, at this point, you can get a netbook with an 8-inch screen that's got a 2,000 by, you know, 1,400 resolution that's got a beautiful picture.
Yeah, I want to know the dots, not how big the dots are.
I don't think inches is a good distinction to make at all anymore. That's what I was trying to say, Glenn, to encourage us to think only in terms of resolutions and spots.
And I haven't even got, the reason I haven't got that far yet is once I started to look at it, I says, wait a minute, I don't even know what I want to display anymore. Okay. Because I can't have all these expandable fields and
stuff. Oh, yeah, exactly. You don't want to have...
So I says, I got to back up and figure out what information is going to be sent to this mobile device, or the mobile device has to understand to do printing, and then I can worry about the dialogue.
And are these tabs or tags or whatever even to be displayed to the end user in the same, you know, in a way vaguely like common print dialogue? I suggest the answer is no once you get down to a small enough resolution.
Right, and then I also included, because I see no reason not to, embedded devices, which have no dialogue.
Right, which have no dialogue. Right.
The one thing is the label text should probably not be much smaller than the text size in a book so that it's somehow readable.
That's a whole complicated thing I haven't looked at yet because, like I said, I don't even think I understood what I needed to bound or put boundaries around the print attributes that a mobile device should have to process. Not put an insert, a blue paper, on the, you know, 3 sheets in. No. That's possible, but I don't want to deal with that case. So whether or not that's... So I think people in most mobile devices would like icons or an X or something that says print web page. That's all they want to know. So.
Yes. On Apple, when I've seen how AirPoint works on Apple devices, iPad and iPhone, when you click the print icon, you get a very, very simple printing dialog. You can choose the print queue, and as options, you can choose only duplex, and that only for the printers which actually have duplex, and the number of copies.
Yeah, I mean... To give you an, I sent out an example of icons that could be done in a presentation I think I gave at the summit. But my company, I shouldn't say this, but their latest version of the iPhone print dialog will support A3 printers. Why? It's just not a case I think of on a mobile, but okay.
Yeah, I see exactly what you're saying is that we really do have to bound the functionality of any mobile behavior guidelines because, you know, somebody wants to do that, okay, but
I'm not going to do that case, okay?
The idea of doing sophisticated print intent for a large format printer from a cell phone or whatever, it just doesn't make any sense.
You shoot a photo with a cell phone which has an imaging sensor of something like 2 × 3 millimeters, and you want to print this photo on A0, which is a 1 square meter size of paper.
Yeah, so I think that was, for me, that's why I stopped and tried to bound the set. And number one, that makes it very fixed for the mobile systems. They all know what they have to do. They all know how to correspond to it. And it makes it, no, it's not as flexible. But it at least covers, I'm guessing, a lot of the print cases. So let me continue on. I think you're all kind of not disagreeing with me, so I think that's good. And I will... start publishing stuff. And my company's actually allowed me, given me more hours to work on it. So. What else?
So, Glenn, one of the things I put up earlier, a few lines in the minutes here, was under our consensus of today that this is a good approach, is that it's okay to do a JTAPI-based approach without IPP or web services transports.
Yeah, I just...
covers the not doing the PWG out-of-the-box transports.
Right. And you could. It's just that I don't want to make it, you know.
Okay. How about if I turn that into two bullets, the first being about okay for JTAPI, and the one second one being okay to have optional IPP web service transports, you know, to have open-ended transports.
Yeah, so we have to. Well, maybe you shouldn't. I don't know. But the problem is, do I want to be able to submit a JDF job ticket? Well, okay, you can do it, but don't go through my interface. I don't care. Because it's too complicated. It's too much. So, anyway, like I said, as long as you don't think I'm off on going off on some bizarre tangent, I'll just continue working and we'll get more information, which will be a little more solid for you guys to look at.
I actually had this darn draft email sitting here in my Gmail for a week to send you, saying much of what I said today. That I thought at the outset it was a good idea, and on further reading of the thread with Peter and whatever, I thought it was a good idea. And my one other comment about the difference between tablets and touch-based interfaces versus hard-touch things is in is not the good thing to make the distinction on. Because tablets have icons, so to have all other kinds of screens. So what?
Determining what the device interface is, the user interface is almost as bad now as what is the printer's capability.
Yeah, exactly. In many ways, it's worse because it hasn't been thought about for so long.
Well, is it color? Is it black and white? Do you have enough pixels to put more than the letter X on the screen? Or do you have
a four-way scroll button so you can emulate a mouse, or do you actually have to hit only one of two button right and left buttons, or what?
Right, or do you want me to make the window virtual and bigger than the display, and then you can just move it around? Give me a break, you know.
Yeah, I know. Only engineers ever come up with those darn solutions.
It gets a little scary.
It's horrible to have to scroll around with too small a viewport, a complicated screen, because then you can't see context.
Well, I think it's easier to come up with a fixed number of print attributes than it is to come up with a fixed number of print interfaces. The idea is to allow some versatility as long as they don't change the print part of it. So, all righty, what else? Anything else going on, Till, in printing in Linux that's interesting to all of us?
One thing which I can tell you is that I've succeeded now to get Ubuntu Netty and Ubuntu Oneric working as an AirPrint server for Apple devices out of the box. Mm-hmm. You only need to share out your printers, and then an Apple device in the local network will find them and can print on them.
So, say that again. Let's see, you can communicate, your Apple device can talk to the printer connected to a Ubuntu computer?
Yes, yes. If you see only Apple's homepage as an AirPrint capable printer or print server, there's only a short list of newer HP printers. And now with Ubuntu, Netty or Oneric, you can get every printer which prints from Ubuntu, Netty or Oneric work as an AirPrint printer.
Okay.
The Apple device talks with a Ubuntu machine, not with a printer.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was typing elsewhere here in the minutes. So what was that piece of news again?
The distributions, Ubuntu, Netty, and Oneric, you naturally have to do the complete updates, are working as an AirPrint server now. So if you have an Apple iPad or iPhone with iOS 4.2 or newer, then you can print from these Apple devices on every printer which prints from your Ubuntu machine. And not only on the very few models of HP printers which Apple lists as AirPrint printers.
Cool.
And this I've implemented in Netty and Oneric based on some people who have reverse engineered the protocol of AirPrint and put up a how to reach this possibility by manually configuring your Linux machine, And I've built this configuration into CUPS so that this goes all fully automatically and out of the box. You only need to share out your printers, which means your open system config printer. And there you click on server and then on settings, and then you say share printers.
Till, since that was based on reverse engineering of copyright specs, I think I won't record that particular fact in the minutes, but I'll just say that they're working as an AirPrint server.
Yes, yes. Simply say they work as an AirPrint server.
Well, actually, I have that page up, and it's just IPP with some special configurations, though, right?
Yes, it's IPP. What is the difference between the IPP which you have with an older Ubuntu machine and a newer Ubuntu machine is that there are some subtype definition in the DNS SD record, which marks this printer as something like subtype underscore universal added, and this marks this printer as an AirPrint printer, and the rest of the changes are all bug fixes.
Yeah, there's actually a difference
in the header. For DNS SD, Avahi-based DNS SD, which we have in Ubuntu from Netty on, had bugs, and these bugs I have fixed with the help of this how-to, and then added this one subtype to the DNS SD record, and with this it supports AirPrint. It does not look like that any copyrighted code is copied by that.
I was going to say the native AirPrint master format.
Yes, and I hope that Apple cannot prevent us from fixing bugs.
Oh, no doubt.
Like us to keep bugs so that our system does not support their protocols.
Yeah, well, Bonjour protocols are publicly available, including that part that you updated in the DNS SD. There is actually a different header in a native AirPrint raster file than there is in a CUPS raster file, just for what it's worth.
And a native AirPrint, and the AirPrint sends PDF.
If it sends raster, it's going to not send you a CUPS raster compatible raster. I'm just telling you.
Yes, yes. Is this then a PWG raster?
No, it's an Apple private. That's the part that they're making people get licenses to.
Yes.
They changed some header fields.
Yeah, let's not talk about it because I'm not supposed to know about it. So.
Yes, I don't. I'm not saying any detail about it. I'm merely saying that if it's not PDF, this part isn't going to work. I forewarn.
Yes, the implementation takes only PDF, and as the IPP tells which formats the server takes, it seems that the client, the Apple device, sends only PDF to this kind of server.
Yeah, it probably will work fine then.
Oh, okay.
So they break it.
At least the people who have tested it, they can print.
No, with PDF, it's nothing but IPP 2.0. That is, it's IPP 1.1 with the bugs fixed.
Yes.
The undocumented features fixed? Yes.
Well, they're not undocumented. There are error conditions like not supporting chunking that RFC 2911 said are fatal errors and are non-conforming, and yet most printers didn't support chunking until more recently. If you do that, yes, you'll be compatible with AirPrint. You'll be compatible with the future IPP Everywhere work.
Sorry. Anything else exciting going on in the printing Linux world?
For now, I don't have any news.
Okay. The first week of next month is the PWG meeting, Monday through Thursday, so that's a horrible time for a meeting. So I suggest we meet on the 10th, right, of August?
Yes, and one thing is, in the beginning of August is also here in Berlin the Desktop Summit, and I will participate in some sessions of it.
Okay.
And if it interferes with the 10th of August, as soon as I have the information when my sessions are, I will tell.
That's the second week of August. Are you sure that that's the, I mean, I don't,
it's more than a week long, this summit.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
But I don't remember the exact dates now.
Okay.
But the session, but it's something like two or three sessions where I participate.
It's in Berlin?
Yes. It's in the Humboldt University. It's not far away from me.
I've got the web page coming up.
It's August 6th to the 12th.
Yes. August 6th through the 12th, making the 10th perfectly awful. So, let's not do it then. Let's do it August 17th, right?
Yes, yes. So, put an
okay.
August 17th.
I'll do that,
yes.
And I'll put the note
also
of the date
of the
desktop.
And also, I can tell you about the outcome of these sessions.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you
that's another good reason. Thank
right.
you.
Okay.
Okay. I think we're ready to adjourn. At least the note taker is, and I'll try and catch up here. And Daniel, you'll send me an email too with what you told us, so
yeah.
I try and get it right.
Yes,
okay.
Please see me, Daniel.
All right, gentlemen. You have a great month. We'll see you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Yes. See you. Bye.